Hamish and Gabby, the podcast. Gabby's List.
I've been thinking about this all week, actually all month, and I have decided to do a list on the ways a fur baby is the same as having a real baby, because I feel like I've upped my responsibility stakes when I bought a dog.
Yeah.
And my life has changed to the point where it feels like I have a child.
Yeah, right.
So these are the ways.
You don't have a child.
I do. It's a fur baby. And these are the ways in which he is the same as having a real baby.
Number one.
They both teeth, so they both chew anything they can get their mouth around, and it's bloody annoying.
Number two.
You have to make your home safe from the waist down, or in my instance, the knees down.
Ankles down.
Knees down. He's getting longer now.
Oh, okay.
You haven't seen him in a couple of weeks.
Number three.
Number three in the ways a fur baby is the same as having a real baby. You need a bucket load of patience when you're toilet training them.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, no matter what or who does it, a poo accident is not nice.
It's not nice, but the good thing is with kids, you can put a nappy on them. And that's okay. But if you put a nappy on a dog, it's not necessary.
You can get nappies.
But you're judged. You're judged.
Number four.
You spend way too much unnecessary money on them.
Mm.
Number five.
You are sleep deprived from the many interruptions throughout the night.
Oh, diddums.
He wakes me up three times to go to the toilet.
Really?
It's a pain in the butt. I've got to go out in the cold. It's not fun.
It's been terrible for you.
Number six.
Number six in the ways a fur baby is the same as having a real baby. Babysitters must pass a questionnaire before you're even considering leaving your precious bundle of joy with them.
Right.
They have to tick all the boxes, otherwise they will not be trusted.
Babysitting. They're looking after your dog, but that's okay.
Dog sitting, babysitting, same thing.
Not really.
Number seven.
And finally, your phone storage really suffers with all the photos that accumulate.
Yes.
That is the same no matter what kind of baby you've
got. You got one out of seven there. I'm going to give you one out of seven.
I've found the most disgusting proposal in the world. So normally when you think of an engagement or a proposal, you think big romantic gestures,
yep.
Gorgeous sunsets,
yes.
You know, maybe a hot air balloon ride, something that's going to be really memorable.
Trip to Paris.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Well, this guy in Russia, he got the memorable thing right. Mm-hmm. He wanted it to be a story he could tell his grandkids, but he didn't get the romantic bit right because this guy had a bit of a stomach wound.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend is a nurse.
Right.
So in order to propose, he convinced his surgeon to insert the diamond ring into his wound and bandage it up.
No.
I'm really confused as to how a surgeon would agree to do
that. Russia, though.
Very unhygienic.
Yeah.
I know, but ew. Anyway, he then went to his girlfriend, who is a nurse, as I mentioned, and said, honey, can you please help me redress this wound? Yeah. Like, it really needs a new bandage. And, of course, she obliged.
Yeah,
it's her partner. She's a nurse.
Yeah,
she's used
right.
to that kind of stuff. Unwrapped the wound and was like, ooh, there's something shiny in there. Better get the tweezers out. Extracted the diamond ring from his wound.
Yeah.
Burst into tears. Now, when she burst into tears, I was like, run, run.
Yeah,
like,
a sign.
If that was me, I would tell him to leave and never come back. But no. She burst into happy tears, put the ring on her finger and said yes.
Did she rinse it off first?
I'm not sure.
I kind of hope she did. Cause
I'm
that's
not
gross.
100% sure.
Yeah.
But either way, I would not be touching that thing. Like, I know she's a nurse and they see worse. They do. They see horrific things in emergency and in hospitals. Yeah. But no.
I think there should be a standard rule when it comes to engagement rings or any sort of jewellery, and that is if it's been inside of somebody.
In any way, shape or form.
You do not wear it.
No, I totally agree.
Mm.
But anyway, so on the back of that, I don't think we're going to find anything as horrific as that.
No, I want
to know if anyone out there on 13, 12, 16 has had an unromantic proposal.
Yeah.
Something that's not the flowers and chocolates and hot air balloon rides that you expect. Something that maybe was a little more low-key.
Yeah, it could be as simple as you're both sitting on the couch together watching the TV, the footy's on, there's an ad break, and then one person turns to the other and says, hey, how about it?
Yeah.
And
And
know,
there you go, you're getting married.
Yes.
And sometimes it could be something where you've got great intentions,
Oh,
but
like
it doesn't
myself.
Follow through.
Yes, I have every intention of having a romantic proposal for my wife. We ended up hiking up a mountain to get the good scenery and good pictures and all that kind of stuff. I didn't think it through, obviously, and we were both sweaty messes at the top of the mountain.
Not photos you want to keep forever.
No, so it wasn't great, let's put it that way. But I did have good intentions.
You did have good intentions. Just didn't come through. So 13, 12, 16, have you had an unromantic proposal or know of one? Give us a call.
Larissa's on the line. Were you the victim of an unromantic proposal?
Yes.
What happened?
We were at a Christmas party and he planned on proposing on Christmas Day. However, he got really, really drunk and he blew all of the money that was supposed to go to baby shopping for our unborn baby. So he came home and proposed to me. I could not understand what he was saying, but he proposed to get himself out of trouble for spending the money.
Honey, I spent all the money, but will you marry me? Because that makes it all better.
That's pretty much how it was.
Did you say yes?
I did, however, he's now an ex, so that's something, right?
Wow, there you go. Wow, that is unromantic, yes, and that should have been a sign. Larissa, sounds like you're quite busy, so we might let you get back to it, but thank you very much for the call.
Okay, thank you.
No worries. Katie is on the line also. Katie, did you have an unromantic proposal?
Very unromantic.
What happened?
My now husband gave himself a deadline of New Year's he had to propose by the end of that year.
He gave himself the deadline?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And then New Year's Eve came and he was lying in the back of a ute and basically said, so you want to get married?
Oh. So he had all year to think of how to do it and he waited to the last moment of his own deadline just to do it very unromantically.
Yes.
I'm confused by his thought process.
You know what? I'm not. That's the typical bloke way.
Wait till last minute.
Yeah, just leave it. And all these scenarios go through your head in the lead up too, like 6 months too. You're like, oh, I could do this, I could do that. No, I'll just leave it till... No, I'll organise it next week. And you just keep going and going and going, and then obviously you've got to do something about it. So
I apologise. You deserve better than that.
It was a New Year's Eve proposal. That's romantic enough. Lying in the back of the ute, looking up at the stars. What more do you want?
Wasn't even at night time.
Looking up at the sun.
The clouds in the sky, the very blue. Anyway, you married him, so it's all good. Thanks for the call. We've got Sarah on the line. Tell us about your unromantic proposal.
Well, he'd had the ring in his drawer for 2 weeks. He'd taken me shopping to pick it.
Yeah, so you knew it.
To help him pick it. Yeah. So I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
So not having it yet, I thought, oh, big, grand romantic gesture. No. We got up one morning. We'd been out on the town the night before, hungover, and he rolls over and says, give us your hand.
No!
That's it.
You've been waiting for this for 2 weeks. He's built up this big expectation, and then what a letdown.
But we've been married 10 years.
There you go.
And
see, it worked perfectly. So,
Hey, this is all four of these non-romantic gestures, isn't it?
Because mine was unromantic. Yeah. Oh, but hang on a second. You knew it was coming anyway, so there would have been no surprise no matter what he tried to do. So
the way that he does it is the surprise.
Did he even ask the question or did he just pop it on the hand, pop it on the finger?
Oh, well, he said, give us your hand. I said, really? He goes, give us your hand. I said, really? He said, would you just give me your hand?
I would have just said, nah. Unless I'm on top of a mountain in a hot air balloon or doing something crazy, I'm not letting you touch my left hand.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I want to help you, fella, but I don't think I can. But the fact that you guys have been married for 10 years now.
It's a happy ending.
Yeah, it is a happy ending, that is for sure. I was having a chat to a person yesterday, Gab, and they put a request in. A request for a very specific part of the show to return. So
Here it is.
Star Wars. Let's talk about Star Wars. I really love Star Wars because it's so cool. Star Wars segment. Haven't done this in a while, gang.
Because there hasn't been any Star Wars news to report on.
No, there still isn't, but...
Great.
I've put it into the show anyway.
This is going to be interesting then.
Yes. No, I've scrambled around and found something by request, mind you. A lot of Star Wars fans loving on the Star Wars segment.
One.
Yeah, it was one person. That's okay. I'm sure there are others that are just silent at the moment. Mm. There are 204 days until Star Wars The Last Jedi hits screens. 204 days.
Oh, God, this is going to be a long countdown if you're starting at 204.
Oh, and 19 hours, incidentally, as well. So, yes, it will be a long countdown if I do it every single day.
So, is that December this year?
December this year, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, here's some other news.
Down to Christmas. Just about the same amount of time.
Yeah, pretty much. There is some extra Star Wars news. Now, we're used to Star Wars merchandise being, you know, toys and all that kind of stuff.
Masks.
Masks.
So change your voice.
Remote control devices, all that kind of stuff, which is great. But they've taken the Star Wars merch to a next level this time around. How about getting your hands on a very special official Star Wars fragrance collection? Yep, Star Wars inspired perfumes.
What does that even smell like?
Well, you've got a whole bunch of different choices that you can have. You can have dark, is in the dark side. It's a unisex fragrance. You've got light, also unisex. You've got Rey, which is for the ladies. You've got Galaxy, which is unisex. You've got Duo, unisex. Revenge for dudes, and Star Wars, the whole set you can get, which is unisex as well. And there's one more. It's a unisex perfume droid.
So you smell like rust.
Pretty
metal
much.
And rust.
Metal, a bit of oil, some electrical cables. And that's sexy.
Is it? Well, I feel like the Rey one for girls is unsexy as well, because you're just going to smell like sweat and dirt because she's constantly running.
Yep, that is true. So give that a go. Give that to somebody you love this Christmas.
Or just go roll around in a paddock for a little bit and you'll probably smell the same.
There's that option. But you know what? As a Star Wars nerd, you're kind of used to being alone, so it's not a problem.
My dad finds himself very funny. He thinks he's a really hilarious person, but he's very much like majority of dads, where his jokes are very cringeworthy. He'll crack up laughing at his jokes, and everyone else just goes, "Oh, dad."
Yeah.
And now he's turned it into dad pranks as well. So it's not just the jokes, it's ridiculous pranks that he's trying to pull on the family. He's next leveled it, exactly. So last night, I got a call from my sister, and I'm just like, "Oh, your dad is so annoying," because he's annoying his mom. Our dad.
Yeah, of course.
And I was like, oh, what's he done this time? So my dad loves to make everyone a cup of tea at the end of the night. Everyone's sitting around having a chat after dinner, and he'll do a round of tea and coffee.
Oh, lovely.
And it happens pretty much every night. And my sister was at their house last night, and he offered a cup of coffee for her. And she's like, oh, I'd love one. Thanks so much. My dad gets really annoyed when we leave the cup of tea or coffee to get cold.
Yeah, right.
Because you have to drink it when it's hot and like burning hot. Like it has to burn the whole way down. Oh. Otherwise, it's not acceptable.
Yeah, right.
And I love good cold tea or coffee. We've discussed this before.
Yeah, we have.
I'll drink it if it's stone cold, like cold. On the bench. Yeah. So last night, he decided to make a stand.
Yeah.
And he made my sister her coffee with cold water. He didn't say anything. Yeah. He just made it with cold water.
Yeah.
He handed it over. She took a sip, nearly spat it out. Yeah. And was like, why is this so cold? Yeah. And he was like, well, you'll leave it to get cold anyway, so I thought I'd save you the hassle.
That's hilarious.
And he thought he was so funny. He was like in tears laughing.
Yeah, I would be too.
And she went and poured it down the sink and made herself a new one.
Yeah.
But she was so annoyed, and he was just in hysterics. So I want to know on 13, 12, 16, is your dad a bit of a prankster?
Yes.
Does he pull silly pranks on you that he might find funny? You might not necessarily think they're hilarious.
He will find them hilarious. Nobody else does. But that's okay. All right, give us a call. We'd love to hear your stories. 13, 12, 16. All right, Jono's on the line. Jono, are you playing the practical jokes, or has your dad done it on you?
No, it was my dad. He was infamous as a practical joker, and he got me an absolute beauty when I was 13. We went on a boys' trip down to the Northern Rivers area of New South Wales, and we went through this town called Woodenbong. And when we went through it, I said, how did this place get its name? And he said, oh, in ancient times, there was a bloke that used to make drums here, and he was pretty hopeless at it. And I believed that until I was 21 years old. And I repeated it to a bloke, and he doubled up with laughter. And he said, "No, you idiot, that's not right." And I believed her for nearly 10 years.
But why would you not believe it?
That's right.
Oh, it made perfect sense.
Oh, that's the best.
Dads are a trusted source of knowledge when you're young, unfortunately.
I sucked that up. I thought, yep, that's fair enough. I've done this for 8 years, believing this to be the truth, and yep, I deserve that.
I love long-standing pranks like that. Like, yeah. They really wait for the payoff.
Yeah.
Like, they plant the seed and 10 years later they get the laugh. It's a really, it's real dedication to
it
the
is
prank.
Dedication.
I love it.
Yeah, well done. Thanks for the call, Jono.
Thanks, mate.
And now we have Mel on 13, 12, 16. What did your dad do to you in terms of a prank?
Well, I am absolutely terrified of spiders, and every night I used to check under my sheet, check if there were spiders in there. One night my dad had to go at me and said I was a baby and I should stop doing this and just get into bed, so I did. And the next minute I could feel something touching me and I ignored it. Then I definitely felt something creeping up my leg, so I jumped out of bed screaming and he put a spring onion underneath my feet. And all of my sisters knew about it and everyone was waiting for me to run screaming out of my bedroom.
A spring onion!
What? A spring onion, and it was hairy and creepy and it felt really cool.
That's just so funny.
Note to self for later on. When you can't find a spider, get a spring onion. The same sort of thing. It's hilarious.
Scariest 5 seconds of my life.
That's so funny for the rest of the family.
Well done, Mel's dad.
Hamish and Gabby, the podcast.